Again, we are capitalizing on the euphoria brought about by the victory of Barack Obama's U.S. presidency to look at some areas of continuing discrimination in our society na nabigyan tayo ng pag-asa na kayang pagtagumpayan itong mga diskriminasyon na ito. Kagaya nga ng pagkakahalal kay Barack Obama, ay nakita natin na kayang pagtagumpayan yung diskriminasyon laban sa lahi doon sa Amerika. Just a few decades ago, ay nandiyan pa yung segregation policy nila. Pero ngayon, isa ng African-American ang kanilang presidente. Which gives us hope na discriminations that happen and that go on in society can be overcome, can be reversed. And that's what we saw sa racial discrimination in America. Even though meron pa rin yan sa mundo, ay kayang pagtagumpayan. At nakita rin natin last week, doon naman sa sexual or gender discrimination, pinagkadiinan natin that sexual differences are real. Siyempre, merong lalaki, merong babae. Wala nang ikatlo, basta lalaki at babae. At may pagkakaiba, pero may pagkakapantay. Yung kanilang pagkakaiba, hindi nangangahulugan na lamang yung isa over the other. So we reject all forms of sexual discrimination, be that in society or in the workplace or even in the home. Hindi dapat na pangibabawan o apihin ang kababaihan. But at the same time, we reject the extreme response of women's liberation movement or the feminist movement that altogether deny authentic differences between men and women. Yung mga diferensya na yan ay merong mando mula sa Diyos, sa sangbahayan, sa iglesia, na panatilihin ang pagkakaiba ng mga lalaki at mga babae. But because the victim, without doubt, of gender discrimination are women, pag sinabi na ating gender equality, ang nangangahulugan niyan ay paggalang at pagpaparangal sa mga kababaihan. Dumako tayo ngayon sa ikatlong uri ng diskriminasyon na patuloy pa rin nangyayari sa ating mga relasyon, sa ating lipunan, and I call it discrimination based on image or external discrimination. Yung mga pagkiling o pagtatangi at the same time yung kabaligtaran pagtanggi na dahil sa panlabas na anyo. So we are now dealing with discrimination based on external appearance. Now, again, like the fact na among mankind, there are racial differences, hindi natin maaalis yun. There are sexual differences, again, that is a fact of life. So too, external differences are a fact of life. Talagang katotohanan niya ng buhay. No two people are exactly alike, even identical twins. Tanungin yung mga medalyas, I'm sure they will tell you na even identical twins ay may pagkakaiba. So in other words, kasama yung mga pagkakaiba sa ating mga pagkatao. Paano lang kung talagang pare-pareho tayo ng itsura, ay mas mahirap yon. Kaya talagang mabuting sa layunin ng Diyos ay may pagkakaiba-iba tayo. Personal differences, which means of course physical, makikita natin yan sa physical in terms of size, height, appearance, facial, in terms ng pangangatawan. Kasama na natin dito ilalagay yung personalidad, yung temperament, gulang, in terms of age. These are all real differences between people. And then, kasama na yung social differences, magkakaroon tayo ng pagkakaiba-iba sa ating antas sa lipunan, kasama na yung ating material possessions, our associations and environment. All of this will go into the makeup that we call appearance, how we appear to people, physical as well as social appearances ay kasama sa ating mga pagkatao. Ang ating paniniwala batay sa Biblia ay it is the internal that defines a person's true identity and not the external. Kaya nga yan po ang punto na pinili kong awit dito ay not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race. Yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Ang punto po niyan, what defines you as a person is your character. And the character of the person is what's inside of him. Ano yung nasa loob niya? Ano yung virtue niya? Ano yung kanyang internal identity? That's what he is. Not how he looks. Not how he appears. Eh, maliwanag yan sa sinabi ng Panginoon. If you turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 21, ito na yung pakikipagtalo sa kanya ng mga Pariseo at mga relihiyon na legalistic. Ang kanyang ipinaalala in Mark 7, beginning verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, etc." And sinabi niya, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. So in other words, it's what you are within. Ang sa mga legalistic, kung anong ginagawa mo sa sarili mo, anong kinakain mo, so in other words, yung sinasabi ko kanina sa mensahe, yung mga tuntunin o kaya mga pagbabawal, yan ang inaakala nilang huhubog sa pagkatao ng isang tao. At ang sinasabi ng Panginoon dito ay hindi. It's not what you eat, it's not what you mold of yourself externally, but what you are within. That's what defiles you, and that's what identifies you. So yan ang punto ng Kristiyano. Sa ating paniniwala, how a person appears is much less of his identity than what he is inside. Kaya ikaw rin ganun. Lahat naman siguro tayo, bago pumunta rito yung nagsalamin, at nakita natin yung ating panlabas na pagkatao, hindi ikaw yun. I mean, ikaw yun ang makikita ng mga tao, pero kung ano ka sa pagkatotoo, ay ano ka sa loob, what you are inside. What many people probably will never know and will never hear, and yet that's what you are as you appear to God. At makikita natin yan. So, yung mga uri ng pag-iiba-iba na panlabas, ay hindi nangangahulugan ng kalamangan. External differences are real, but they do not establish superiority or inferiority. One way or the other, one person is not superior to another because of his appearance. And yet, that's how society treats appearance. Kaya titingnan natin ngayon paano nangyayari yung external discrimination. Paano nagkakaroon ng discrimination na panlabas? At maaaring hindi natin napapansin, nangyayari yan maging sa ating biases, sa ating prejudices, and we need to correct ourselves if that is happening to us. So, in what way does external discrimination happen? Ano yung mga factors na nangyayari sa pagkakaroon ng discrimination? Well, tingnan natin sa tatlong factors. Looks, age, wealth. Sa itsura, sa gulang, at sa yaman. So sa tatlong yan, nagkakaroon ng discrimination. First of all, in looks, sa itsura, sa ating mga relasyon, sa ating lipunan, it cannot be denied that physical beauty has the preference which discriminates against the ordinary. Ayokong gamitin yung eksaktong opposite ng beauty. Kaya sabihin natin, ordinary. There is a clear preference for the physically beautiful as against anything less than that, merong unseen or unspoken bias. One reason for that is in terms of commerce, market. Of course, physical beauty is more marketable. Dahil anong kasunod ng beauty? Attraction. When people get attracted, of course, mas may hila, mas may hatak. Kaya anong nangyayari? Who will endorse products? Those who will endorse products in most cases will be those who can attract. And that means an advantage or a premium is given to physical beauty. Ganun din makikita natin sa showbiz. Yung mga talagang celebrity, sino ba yung talagang mga ilalagay sa mga pangunahing papel? Again, the clear premium is on beauty, physical appearance, physical attraction. commercial advertisements seek the endorsement of people who are attractive. And that's how society will, without any spoken rule, yet how society treats ang mga tao ay in terms ng mga itsura. Eh kung minsan kahit yung mga jobs, mga trabaho na hindi naman talaga itsura ang kakailanganin, eh yung pa rin ang hinahanap. Sometimes you'll find advertisements for a job na nakalagay ay physically attractive or attractive female. And wala mang ganung requirement visibly or that you can read, yung talagang tinatanggap ay yung mga mayroong physical attraction. Sinong makikita mo mga nasa eroplano na stewardesses, eh hindi naman kailangan yung physical beauty sa trabahong yan. They can perform however they look in terms of their actual natural appearance, pero there is a very clear bias for physical attraction as against the ordinary. Now, ang isang tandaan natin dito ay attraction is subjective. In fact, nasa tingin lang yan. At isang medyo mali sa kultura ng mga Pilipino, yung ating taste, siguro dahil nga sa ating colonial past, ay masyado tayong westernized. Masyado tayong makakanluranin. Ano, panood nyo ba yung Jessica Soho kagabi, nag-test sa mga bata, sinong pipiliin nila, manika na Filipina looking at yung isa'y Barbie. Overwhelming ang choice kay Barbie ng mga bata. Eh, that's the taste that we have been trained to grow with, westernized. Eh, dito lang yata talagang kumikita ang mga whitening products. Ewan kung kukikita yun sa Africa. Magkano sila ng mga whitening products doon. Dito kitang-kita. Talagang makikita natin yung preference, yung taste ng mga Pilipino ay westernized. And that's how we choose and how we prefer appearances westernized. Now, anong dapat na attitude natin dito? Well, una, gusto kong sabihin, there is a proper concern for personal appearance. However, it must be put against priorities, which means yung concern for personal appearance should be a restrained one, not overwhelming, not preoccupying. Yung ating paalalahanin sa itsura ay may lugar para dyan, pero dahil meron tayong ibang mga prioridad, hindi ito dapat na umuukupa ng ating pag-iisip. It should not be a preoccupying concern. To look good physically as part of a respected demeanor, I believe is virtuous. Merong ganyang pangyayari sa Biblia na napunta sa usapin ng appearance. Well, you know, Daniel. Buksan nyo sa Daniel chapter 1. Tingnan natin kung paano ginamit ni Daniel yung usapin ng appearance. Daniel chapter 1. Well, alam nyo lang, si Daniel kasama ng mga maraming Israelites ay dinala sa Babylon as captives. Dahil si Daniel ay siguro bantog siya sa kanyang dulong, ay isinama sa mga magiging tagapayo ng mga opisyal ng Babylon. Eh, pakakainin sila ng mga bagay na bawal sa isang Hudyo, sa batas ni Moises. At ayaw ni Daniel na sumuway sa batas ng Diyos, pero hindi naman niya pwede ipaliwanag na yun ang nasa kautusan ni Moises. Ay, mga pagano ito. So, paano ginawa niyang argumento? In Daniel 1, sa verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, itong kanyang pangangatwiran, nung natakot na yung eunuch na baka lumala yung kanilang health dahil hindi sila pinakain ng maayos, ang hamon ni Daniel, verse 12, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances," sa ESV ay appearance, "be examined before you and the countenances of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants." And so, nangyari nga at ang naging hamon ni Daniel is how they looked. What's my point? My point is here is a proper concern for how they looked. And naging winsome, naging kumbaga affirmation ng kanyang pananampalataya na mas malusog sila kaysa dun sa iba. So isang bagay ito na tamang concern. So kung sinabihan kayo ng inyong doktor, bawal mo ng cholesterol at bawal yung mga ganyan, ay sumunod kayo at bahagi yan ng tamang alalahanin sa ating pangangatawan, pangkalusugan, and that includes appearance, how you look. Paano tayo tinitingnan ng ibang mga tao. So there is a proper concern for how we appear, which is consistent with respectable demeanor, respectable reputation. However, overdone, yung sinobrahan, overdone looks for the primary purpose of attraction, let's give it the biblical word, is seduction. Yung talagang ang gusto ay maging mapangakit sa iba, sa kanyang itsura, kung yan ang talagang nangungunang dahilan, yan ay panunukso. And the Bible calls it that. And we are exhorted to beware of the seductress. So the biblical priority, as I've said, is character. And character is always an inner virtue. At ito yung pag-ibahin natin. External, ang tawag natin yung makeup. So, yan ang inilalagay sa itsura ng tao. Looks. So, you put it on. Whereas, character, is something that radiates from within. It radiates. At yan ang dapat na makita sa atin, maramdaman. Nagre-radiate yung something that wins others through character. Proverbs 31:30, yung sinabi sa virtuous woman, charm is deceitful. Deceitful, ibig sabihin, yan ay put on lang. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, and the word vain there means something which is passing, something so temporary. So beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So ang pinag-contrast doon ay charm and beauty, whatever their place may be, they are not for real. What's for real is fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is the cluster of virtues in the Old Testament that speak of godliness. Yung pagkamakadiyos. At yung pagkamakadiyos, anong ginagawa? It wins praise. It invites praise. So, magiging patutuo siya para purihin ang Panginoon. At yan ang nangyayari sa tunay na may karakter. So, that means there must be a conscious cultivation of character winsomeness. We deal with people, and of course, we should be in the right appearance, but what should radiate from us is a character that wins others. Halimbawa, tingnan nyo sa 1 Peter chapter 3, tungkol sa mga asawang babae na may asawang hindi man nanampalataya. Ito ang advice ni Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, wives, in verse 1, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Pansin niyo yung paano itatry ng babaeng hikayatin yung kanyang asawang lalaking hindi mananampalataya. Not so much by word. So, hindi by way of nagging and contentions, kundi by what? Verse 2, when they see your respectful and pure conduct, so what's to win an unbelieving husband is conduct. Then verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So that's the Bible's beauty tips. Inner character, inner person. It's precious. Ang sabi rin, imperishable beauty. And again, that's in contrast with physical beauty. No matter how beautiful a person may be, it's not imperishable. It comes to a point when you cannot avoid the wrinkles of the skin. And no matter how you use cosmetic surgery and cosmetic technology to try to stretch the wrinkles, you cannot ultimately avoid it. Kahit na stretch mo ng stretch hanggang translucent ka na, hindi mo mawala, hindi ma-avoid. That's beauty which is perishable. What is imperishable, sinabi ni Peter dito, ay the inner beauty of character. So, we consciously cultivate that. And when we consciously cultivate that, we don't put primary premium on physical beauty. In fact, huwag tayong basta padala sa kagandahan lamang. Sometimes you meet people, and I mean men and women, but in the case of many who think na yung kanilang itsura ay napakaganda, and yet hollow in character, it reminds me of Proverbs 11:22, just as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman without character. So, ganun. Kaya, wag natin unahin yung ganda. You meet people like this, who pride in their beauty, real or imagined, but ang punto ay, it's not that should, hindi yan ang lalagyan natin ng pagpapahalaga. Kaya, gawin natin consciousness natin ito. Huwag tayong padala ng paghanga sa kagandahan lamang. And that means, of course, for our part, huwag nating unahin. We must consciously avoid preference that is dictated by physical attraction. Ngayon, punta tayo sa ikalawang appearance, age. And here, again, it cannot be denied, there is a problem which in society is called ageism. So kung merong sexism, there's also ageism, a preference for youthfulness with bias against agedness. Merong bias o discrimination laban sa katandaan dahil sa kinikilingang labis ay ang kabataan. Now kung yung beauty, ang kanyang association ay attraction, youthfulness is associated with energy. And of course, that's true. Siyempre, kung may yung kabataan, mas may enerhiya, mas may lakas. Yet, because of that, this is given the most important value to the discrimination of the aged. And what we have now in many workplaces, early retirement is an option, and in some cases, even obligation. Early retirement. The idea is the older you grow, the less capable you are of your job. Worse, in many states in the West, this is certainly true of Europe, increasingly true of the United States, though not yet fully true, but in many Western states, ang tawag sa kanila ay welfare states, yung mga matatanda ay kargo ng Estado. Sa halip na responsibilidad ng pamilya, matapos na magtrabaho ng buong buhay niya, ay karapat-dapat lang siyang alagaan na sa kanyang katandaan. Sa mga kanlurang bansa, ang nangyayari ay hindi responsibilidad ng pamilya, responsibilidad ng Estado. Kaya ang gagawin sa kanila, dadalhin sila sa mga homes for the aged, at yung Estado ang mag-aalaga sa kanila, mag-hire ng mga professionals for their keeping. That's exactly the same thing that Apostle Paul addressed in 1 Timothy 5 concerning widows. Anong sabi niya? Yung mga may pamilya, silang mag-alaga sa kanila. Hindi ito dapat sa iglesia. Well, the same is true with state. Ang estado, may mga bagay siyang dapat harapin na mas mahalaga. Yung pag-alaga sa mga tumatanda ay dapat trabaho ng pamilya. Pero ang nangyayari sa maraming bansa ay nagiging kargo ng estado. Ang ginagawa na lang ng mga pamilya ay nagbabayad sa estado through tax and other ways. Pero parang sa kanila ay pabigat at ibinibigay sa estado, which I believe is wrong. How does the Bible treat the aged? With great honor. May dakilang pagpaparangal ang Biblia sa mga tumatanda, lalo't kaugnay ng karunungan at karanasan. So, agedness is associated with wisdom and experience. Kaya pinaparangalan sila. At yung pagpaparangal, hindi lang sa basta sila ay just a matter of civil courtesy. Tingnan nyo sa Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. Leviticus 19:32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. So, yung courtesy na tinatawag natin, pagtayo at paggalang sa matanda ay function daw ng ating paggalang sa Panginoon. It's you cannot fear the Lord, you cannot revere the Lord, and be disrespectful of the aged. Hindi maari yung ganun. We need to be, ang sinabi nga, may mga talatang pinapakita na disrespect for the aged is symptomatic of evil in a society. Itong marka na sinabi sa Israel, pag sila'y napunta na sa mga paganong bansa't naging bihag, isa raw mga marka ay walang paggalang sa mga matatanda. And again, this is something happening in the West. Magugulat kayo pag wala kayong gayong karanasan na dito sa Pilipinas, nandun pa sa atin yung natural na paggalang sa matanda. Kaya tayo meron pang mga po at opo at meron tayong mga natural na kultura ng paggalang. You go to the West, it will shock you how young people treat the aged. How they call them, how they just treat them with such disgusting discourtesy. Eh, magugulat ka. At yan nga ang sinasabi sa Biblia na symptomatic ng kasamaan sa lipunan, isang sintomas yung pag walang galang sa matanda. Well, that something good na narito pa rin sa Orient, sa dito sa silangan ng mga bansa, yung talagang paggalang. I remember, it never left my memory. Yung minsan ako'y in one international flight, and most of the passengers are Koreans. And I remember this very old man stood up to go to the restroom. And as he walked by the aisle, every Korean sa mga seats ay bumabati. They would bow down and greet this old man. I'm sure they did not know him by acquaintance, kundi just being an aged man, it nakuha sa kanila yung magalang at yung pinagpipitagan siya dahil sa kanyang gulang. And that shows you something good in a society. It is good in a society if there is respect for the aged. So that means sa ating sariling pakikitungo, sikapin natin na magkaroon ng ganung paggalang. And among Christians, we believe that the aged can be useful still in the service of man and of God. Psalm 92, they will bear fruit in old age. So, sa kanilang katandaan, sa kapag sila raw ay nagkaroon na ng uban, hindi pa ako matanda, pero ang punto roon ay kaugnay siya ng karunungan at ng karanasan, which is part of what we need. That's why we respect them, we treat them with the utmost honor. At yan po sana ang nararamdaman din ng mga may katandaan dito sa ating iglesia. You are treated with utmost respect and honor. Thirdly, wealth. Affluence. Dito talagang hindi rin ma-i-deny And in fact, the Bible acknowledges this bias for the rich and against the poor. Proverbs 14 and verse 20 tells us this bias. Proverbs 14:20, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Ano ba totoo yan? Money talks and it easily wins friends. Again, kung yung beauty associated with attraction, youth associated with energy to be moneyed is associated with capacity for life and comfort. Ito yung may kakayahan. Kaya nga tawag natin sa mga mayayaman, may kaya. May kaya dahil inuugnay nga natin doon sa kakayahan. Dahil sa kanyang pananalapi. At kaya yung bias na yan, makikita mo sa mga pagpipili ng mga jobs. Anong trabaho, anong career. Ang gusto ng mga tao, ang isa nilang panukat ay saan may pera. Eh kuminsan, pati mga magulang, ganun sila magkikaya sa kanilang mga anak. Huwag dyan anak at walang pera dyan. At na ilalagay natin sa kanilang utak yung ang pagpili ng direksyon sa buhay ay saan may pera. O kaya ay lagi na lang na ididikdik, magsikap ka para makaahon tayo sa hirap. At parang yun ang nagiging ambisyon, umahon sa hirap, saan may pera. So even unknowingly, or unconsciously, na ilalagay din natin yung motibo ng panglabas. And in this case, to be moneyed. And we tend to assess people in terms of how they look, whether rich or poor. At anong ginagamit natin kadalasan? Pananamit. And even in the church, that can happen. It happened in the New Testament. Turn to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, nangyari ito. Verse 1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So to have a preference for the good looking in terms of clothing, because we associate it with the money, James calls evil thought. Masamang pag-iisip. Nangyayari sa atin yan. And so we need to be careful. The proper attitude again is wealth can be a blessing. Hindi natin sinasabing ang yaman ay masama. May mga instructions sa Biblia para sa mga mayayaman. 1 Timothy 6:17 and others tell them what they are to do. So wealth in itself is not a curse. It can be a blessing. However, I stand by this, that to desire to be rich as a motive is wrong. It is evil for the Christian. Maliwanag yan sa 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10. Those who desire to be rich, they fall into various temptations. And then verse 10, love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And what more do you need as a clear biblical statement na ang motibo ng pagpapayaman bilang hangad, bilang ambisyon, ay masama. Hindi masama ang sikapin mong magtrabaho at sa pagtrabaho mo, ikaw ay pagpalain at payamanin ng Panginoon, tanggapin mong pagpapala. Pero yung gawin mong hangad sa buhay ay ang yumaman, yan ang gawin mong ambisyon, yan po ay masama. Because the biblical virtue against that is contentment. What is contentment? Ang contentment po ay hindi yung walang ambisyon. Hindi yan ang contentment. Ang contentment ay tanggap ang kasalukuyang kalagayan. Ano man yun. In the language of the Apostle Paul, remember Philippians 4, I have learned to be abased, I have learned to abound. And anuman daw yung kalagayan niya, meron siyang contentment. And the content is the one ang kayang mamuhay ng may kagalakan, anuman yung kanyang kalagayan. Hindi siya namumuhay sa kabalisahan, ligalig, o inggit. Nabubuhay siya ng may kagalakan sa kabila ng kanyang kalagayan sapagkat para sa Kristiyano, tinanggap na niya ang pinakamabuti ng Diyos. Ang pinakamabuti ng Diyos ay ang biyaya kay Jesucristo. Kaya lahat ng yan, whether it's looks, age, or wealth, social status, hindi ito dapat ang pakikitungo natin sa isa't isa. It should not dictate the way we treat people. It should not dictate the way we prefer or be biased against people. For the Christian, it is the internal and the unseen that are the greater reality of personal life. Yan ang sinabi ni Paul, the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It is the inner man which grows day by day, even though the outward man perishes. Kahit na yung panlabas na pagkatao natin ay marupok at nanghihina, maaring manatili yung paglago na panloob ng isang mananampalataya. And therefore, it is the inner character that defines the man. Let this be our principle. Itong last text natin, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Will you remember when Samuel was sent by God to the family of Jesse para piliin yung sinabi ng Panginoon ay the man after my own heart. At nung iharap sa kanya yung panganay ni Jesse, ang nakita niya ay makisig na lalaki at ang inisip niya agad, ito na ang para sa Panginoon. And how did God rebuke Samuel in this? 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Yan ang mahalagang prinsipyo sa atin, mga kapatid. Paano tayo magtrato ng mga tao ay ano siya sa kanyang puso. Let that condition of the heart reject. And let that be what wins us to a person, not so much the physical appearance. So let us deal with people on the basis of character, not on the basis of appearance. Any question? Any thought you'd like to share? Questions or thoughts or testimonies? May gusto mag-testimony ng the travail of being beautiful. Suzette.
Pastor, as a Christian, paano ka magre-react ngayon? Sa society na ganun yung hinahanap, even sa paghanap ng work. It's so frustrating na, halimbawa, ikaw, maghanap ng work, tapos mas merong kang ano na, mas ano sa'yo, maganda. ganun. So, it's so frustrating. Ano ang dapat na maging reaction din ng Kristiyano sa ganun na?
Well, if you're treated that, we are treated that way, it only reveals the kind of society we have and wag nating kundinahin yung sarili natin na kung minsan tinatrato tayong mababa, minamababa na rin natin yung sarili natin. Let us still deal with it with dignity. Kung ganyan yung pananaw nila, then it's their loss. So don't treat yourself in the way the bias of society treats you. Huwag kang pahawa, huwag kang padala sa gayong pagtrato. Wala tayong magagawa kung sila yung nasa decision making. Pag yun na kanilang desisyon, and yes, it is frustrating, but nonetheless, that doesn't make us less of a person because of their shabby treatment. So yun ang masasabi ko lang, na huwag tayong padala o pahawa sa ganong pagtrato ng lipunan. ginagawa ng iba rito yung ang may ibang nagbabasa sa sasagot eh. Pwede, pwede bang ganun? Ikaw magbasa. Sige, basa.
Question mo na. Question.
Tito Ike, sige po.
Okay. While it is true that appearance, age, wealth, and age are factors that influences one credibility, persuasiveness, and convincing power. I would like to point out that perhaps sa dito na lang sa in preaching the gospel, mas siguro yung mas taking all things equal, mas kapanipaniwala o mas kapitapitagan ang taong may kurbata na magpipreach sa gospel. Kaya halimbawa yung mga tao sa saints of the latter yung church ng mga Amerikano na nakakurbata, Mormons, it will add to the dignity. Kasi halimbawa nakikita ko sa TV, magaling ito si Eli Soriano, but I never saw him na nakakurbata. Pero itong mga iglesia ni Kristo, naka-American at nakakurbata, kung pare-pareho ang kanilang eloquence, I think I would believe more the people with better appearance than yung lousy. Ang equality, halimbawa sa wealth, even in death, yung mga mayayaman, tignan natin sa sementeryo, nasa mausoleum yung mga mayayaman, samantala itong mahihirap, doon nala ang sa lupa. So, there is always inequality. I think that might be sa effect ng culture, tradition, or etc. Kaya, I agree that all these factors, we should not, in making our judgment or dealing with people, hindi natin i-consider overwhelmingly, but it must be balanced.
Thank you po. Sa issue ng kurbata, I have to agree. Pero yung point na all things being equal, appearance matters. And that's my point kanina na there is a point when appearance does matter, and there is a proper concern for appearance which should be restrained by other priorities. Pero merong angkop na pagpag-alalahanin sa the way we appear to people as consistent with respectable demeanor. Yun ang masasabi ko sa tamang concern for appearance as long as that is not overdone. Basta.
Una pong tanong, bakit po sa Bible ang pagpapaganda ay sa babae lang? Di po ba totoo din sa lalaki? Ginagamit din para mangakit?
Well, unang-una, yung ginamit ko kanina si Daniel shows na appearance is also a concern of the men. However, we cannot deny that in terms of temptation, in terms of vulnerability, there is a greater vulnerability on the part of women, and the Bible reflects it. Kumbaga, nasasalamin sa Biblia na yung mas malakas na hatak ng pagpapaganda ay nasa kababaihan. And that's just a fact of experience and a fact in scriptures. Pero yung tamang alalahanin ay panlalaki at pambabae.
Hello. Ewan ko, ba't ito'y binigay po sa akin ni Kuya Ike? Ito po ang question. Bakit po ang iba nagpaparitoke? Then, bakit ang iba naglalagay ng makeup kahit po walang okasyon?
Siguro yung walang okasyon, kung nagpifacial siya bago matulog, that's part of proper care ng kanyang skin na hindi naman masama. Doon sa nagpaparetoke, if you mean gumagamit ng cosmetic technology, it's a good thing to discuss. Is it right or wrong? I've discussed this with my students sa ethics and with various positions taken by Christians. I believe where one has the means and in a work that gives premium to public appearances, that in itself would not be wrong. Pero again, in a relationship ng priorities, kung wala siyang masyadong means at yun pang uunahin niya, I believe that to be wrong. So I will not say that that in itself is wrong. We use cosmetics for proper appearance. So if you extend yung idea ng cosmetic to cosmetic technology, I will say that that in itself is not wrong in a proper set of priorities and means. Yung halimbawa may kaya siya at gagamitin niya yung extra lang ng kanyang pera para sa bagay na yun, ay, diba, ginagawa naman niya ng mga kababaihan sa kanilang buhok, sa kanilang face. So, may layunin pa rin sa buhay ang katulad nila Dr. Bello. Suzette, may
follow up, Pastor. Gaya ng no sleep and yung pagpapa-enhance ng that thing, ibig bang sabihin nun na kasi yun yung bigay ng God, hindi sila kontento dun sa ibinigay na itsura?
No, not necessarily. When a person is born with a genetic defect, gagawin ng kanyang mga magulang yung lahat na magagawa nila para ito ay maayos. So, if a person has something in his body that may cause destruction sa tingin nila and gustong ayusin ng magulang, again, I will not call that not accepting what God has given. Kundi nasa atin yung pagsasaayos ng sa paligiran natin ay pwede pang ayusin. So, kung yun man ay nose lift, at iba pa, again, I'm putting it in the proper set of priorities and means. Hindi ko yan uunahin, pero where one has the means at kaya, why not? Yes, Tess.
May napansin po ako na kahanga-hanga sa mga ginawa ng Panginoon. Mga bata, mga anak po. Kahit anong itsura ng anak, kahit anong... Ito ho sa pagtuturo ko sa mga bata noon. Parang mayroon pa rin nagmamahal sa kanila. Ikaw anak, anak kita, ikaw ang pinakamaganda. Parang nakita ko na bawat isa sa mga batang estudyante ko, meron talagang nagsasabi na sila ay ganun. Although, sa pamantayan nating mga tao, kita natin na hindi. Nako, Pastor. Ang ibig kong sabihin, ang bawat bata, bawat isa po sa atin ay maganda dahil may nagsasabi sa atin na tayo ay maganda. At ang pangunahin po doon yung mga, yung nanay na lang, kung sabihin.
Oh, totoo naman yun. But then, you also have this idea na if a person has a face only a mother can love, yet, would it be wrong na ayusin kung may kakayahan? Yun ang point ko na you always put it in the cluster of priorities and means. Hindi ko yan uunahin, pero kung may kaya at gusto ng magulang na mas ayusin, I will not find it wrong. Yun lang ang punto ko. Basta hindi yun ang gagamitin niyang usapin sa kanyang katayuan sa Diyos. Hindi kagaya nung I'll never forget one of my first, I thought was one of my first fruits ng witnessing sa college. I was in UP Diliman then. And may na-witnessan ako at decisionistic pa ako nun. Kaya nag-pray to receive Christ and so I was very happy. And then the following week, he came to me very frustrated. Ang sabi niya, hindi na ako maniniwala sa Diyos mo. And nagulat ako, anong nangyari? Sabi niya, may hiniling ako sa Diyos na hindi niya ibinigay. And I'm serious, ito ang sinabi niya. Hiniling kong linisin niyang aking mukha. Doon ko siya talaga pinagmasta ng gusto na... para nga siyang...
impulse na may mukha.
Oh, parang tagyawat na may tumubong mukha. Pero ang punto roon ay ginamit niya yung kanyang itsura para sa kanyang relasyon sa Diyos, which I find to be very wrong. So may karapat, may tama na tugunan mo yung what you feel is pwede pang ayusin, pwedeng pagandahin, pero hindi dapat na maging katayuan natin sa Diyos. Go ahead, Susie.
Follow up muna, Pastor. Pastor, paano naman kaya ang gagawin ng isang asawa na gusto niyang, kasi tumatanda na, kunyari lang ako, ay gusto kong ma-enhance ang aking confidence sa pamagitan ng pagpapaganda, pero ayaw na ayaw naman ng asawang lalaki. Ano bang maganda doon?
Narinig mo yung Nestor. Tanggalin mo yung...
Pastor, pwede ba sagutin? Pwede sagutin. Tatanungin mo kasi asawa mo kung anong gusto niya.
Oo, oh, pagka sa asawa mo, okay na yan. Walang kailangan baguhin. Diba?
Eto, Pastor.
Susep.
Pinapatanong dito sa tabi ko. Paano po yun dito sa Psalm 139? In relation din doon, Pastor, na sinabing, For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So in relation dun sa lumabas na yung sa itsura.
Look, we can be consistent with the belief na yung ating pagkakalikha ng Diyos through the generating process of the womb ay totoong ma-appreciate natin, kinikilala natin na ito'y mula sa Diyos. But again, given the fact na this is a fallen world, there will be the appearances of the fallenness of man even in our physical makeup. Hindi ito pagtanggi sa paglilikha ng Diyos. Halimbawa nga, pag ang isang tao ay ipinanganak na may genetic disorder, hindi naman natin sasabihin, tanggapin mo na lang yan ang bigay sa iyo ng Diyos. Ang sinasabi natin, kapag may disorder genetically, where it can be corrected, why not correct it? So, ganun na rin when it comes to physical appearance, where it can be put in order better than the original. What's wrong with that? Hindi ito pagtanggi sa ibinigay ng Diyos, kundi pagkilala na may mga bagay pang mas pwedeng ayusin sa ating pagkatao. But again, I keep on adding within a cluster of priorities and means. Jean?
May sagot si Nor dun sa question ni Tess na mag-enhance ang confidence pag matanda. Magpakabait ka raw. Okay, serious. Magpakabait na lang. Seriously speaking, Pastor, my question is, yeah, is it a form of discrimination if the society does not provide structures for physically challenged and aged people? Kasi I observed dun sa Tokyo, talagang yung mga structures dun allow everyone, whether disabled or aged or young people, to navigate the road and go up and down some of the structures na matataas.
Oh, totoo yun. In fact, we now have a law for the handicapped na lahat ng structures dapat provided for by easy access for the handicapped, except na marami ay nagpapalusot lamang. May nakikita akong building na meron ngang para sa handicapped, pero pagka-stiff-stiff naman nung kanilang... kaya kung gagamit ng wheelchair, hindi kayang umakyat. Kailangan malaki yung braso. So, but it's true, a society which has a consciousness of its frail people should provide, as a matter of justice, should provide for the easy access of these people, especially sa case ng Japan where there is a greater population ng aged. At sa atin kasi, mga kabataan pa ang karamihan, pero sa Japan talagang makikita mo rin marami ng matatanda. Kaya mas conscious sila. At yun ang isang consciousness na dapat nating i-alert sa ating kultura. A consciousness of our duty to the frail in our society. G.
As usual, tungkol sa cancer na naman ang ating... So, yung mga bago ngayon na pagpapaganda, it's associated actually sa ating health. So, kunyari, mahilig kang magpaaraw, talagang mangingitim ka, mangungulubot pa ng huslang balat. And yung danger ng cancer pati. So, pero meron namang glutathione, Pastor. Uminom ka na lang nun. Malilinis pa ang kidney mo. Hindi ko pinopromote yung glutathione. Pero yung may testimony lang ako, it's about the character of also the male. Kasi I had once a cancer patient na single siya. They were about to be married. And then she was diagnosed of breast cancer. So, pagka na-diagnose ka ng cancer, talagang baksak ang mundo mo. I will not be able to work anymore. Wala na akong income. And then since they were about to be married, yung time na siya ay nagpapakimo, nakalbo na siya ng husto, bumaksak ang katawan. And then the guy said, I could not marry you anymore because of yung hitsura niya siguro, natakot siya. Pero sa tingin ko kasi, parang baksak na nga ang mundo mo tapos sasabihin mo pa sa girlfriend mo or fiance mo na quits na, hindi ko kaya, parang ganon. So lalo mong binaksak yung dignidad, kung may natitira pang dignidad yung cancer patient na yon. Anyway, mamamatay din yan, pwede kang mag-asawa uli, sabi ko sa utak ko, pero yun yung makikita pa rin yung karakter ng isang lalaki na about to be married sa isang
baka natakot siyang sa pamagpapalibing.
Ayun.
But isang panahon yun na you will feel the rejection of people, but it is a time for you to affirm yung the continuing acceptance of God even of the infirm and even of the dying. Karirinig ko lang this week si siguro alam niyo yung mga tao pag naka tatlo apat na chemo na ay talagang laglag na yung katawan nila. I just heard of si tita, mother ni Pastor Oli Siveses, just had undergone her 31st chemo. And still a very jovial, very happy woman, a member siya sa Moonwalk. And it's a testimony ng pananampalataya even in the face of infirmity and suffering. So sa mga ganong pagkakataon, and that reminds me of George Matheson, who was also engaged to be married, and then he became blind. And when he became blind, his fiancée rejected him. Ayaw na magpakasal, and that's when George Matheson wrote the words, "O love that will not let me go," which is now part of our hymn. So sa panahon na nireject siya ng kanyang minamahal, doon niya na-appreciate pang lalo yung the love that will not let him go. Tim.
Naalala ko lang yung may nabasa ako, nabanggit kasi ni Tess yung tungkol doon sa pagsasabi sa ating mga anak na sila'y maganda. Actually, hindi lang sa mga anak, kundi sa mga bata din. Yung concern natin tungkol, ang isang effect ng sa tao nung pagsasabing maganda, gwapo, magaling ka, o ano. And which also maging cause din sa discrimination ay yung conceit. At ang isang pinagmumulan nito ay syempre yung mga magulang at saka yung mga tao sa paligid na yun ang kinokomment ng kinokomment at naririnig ng ating mga bata. So, nadidevelop ito sa kanila. Sa isang book na nabasa ko, nang sinabi nga na the heart is a tinderbox. So dapat nating sabi na, at sa, maski sa Bible din, na sabi na guard your heart with all diligence. So dapat ingatan natin kung anong sasabihin natin na maaring itinatanim natin sa puso ng ating mga anak na maaring magli-lead sa kanila na maging conceited and at the same time on the yun nga yung magkaroon sila ng magdi-discriminate sila.
And which again, the guide is the scriptures, kaya doon sa sinabi natin na character is what defines a person, yun din ang ituro natin sa ating mga anak, yung kanilang character. Ano sila sa kanilang kalooban, yung kanilang pagtrato sa kanilang kapwa. These are the things that make up a person. Although hindi natin kailanman sasabihan yung anak natin na hindi siya maganda o pangit siya, yet in terms of what we tell the child, dapat nandun nangingibabaw yung character rather than its sura. Jojo.
Pastor, ano po masasabi niyo sa mga beauty contest?
Beauty contest. Well, it's one of the products ng a society that is discriminatory towards physical appearance. Kung mga produkto yan ng diskriminasyon ng lipunan sa na nakakiling sa appearance. Diba? That's my personal view. Apart from the fact na what it does is it commercializes women. There is exploitation, but it also supports discrimination. Go ahead.
Pastor, patanong lang daw po. Yung pong ginagamit yung ganong contest para sa fundraising.
Contest? Beauty contest for fundraising?
Yes. Tapos, ang nasa likod ay fundraising.
Commercializing. That's the whole idea. Yung mga beauty contest na yun, may mga sponsors yan. And behind their activity ng beauty contest is to promote their product. But again, behind the idea is what promotes a product is appearance of beauty, which is precisely what I'm saying. Yan ang discrimination sa lipunan, yung pagkikiling doon sa physical na kagandahan. So what makes them special than other women dahil sa kanilang physical na kagandahan, which is, as Proverbs 31 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Ningning. Ningning.
Pastor, kasama po kaya sa fall ng man ang pagkakaroon ng maganda at saka ng hindi maganda? Perfect po kaya noon sila, Adam at Eve, in terms of appearance?
Well, I believe in their physical makeup, they would be perfect. Walang defects, walang physical defects or genetic disorder of any kind. Kaya nga sa una nating lesson ay sila yung perfect pair from which from whom nag-develop yung iba-ibang races and genetic identities, pero physically, wala silang anumang defects. Kaya yung mga defects na physical ay nagsimula lamang bahagi ng fall, bahagi ng pagkahulog natin sa kasalanan. Ang effect ng kasalanan ay hindi lang spiritual, kundi cosmic, yung pangmundo, pangnilikha, at kasama na yung pangkatawan.
Ate Linda. Ako ay natutuwa at sinabi niyo yung discrimination kasi buhat na ako i-movie sa Pilipinas, parati kong naghahanap talaga ako ng simbahan. Pero merong simbahan na sinasabi, ang mga babae dito hindi pwedeng mag-maikli ng buhok, hindi pwedeng magpantalon. Naguguluhan ho ako, pastor eh. Ano ba yung, di ba, sabi niyo nga, you have to be yung ano nyo, yung paniniwala nyo, yung pananampalataya, importante. So, bakit yung ibang pastor, hindi pwedeng mag-suit ng ganun, hindi pwedeng ganun. But who, hindi ba ho yun ang bad image? So, ano bang produce nila, image lang ng tao. Oo, kasi naguguluhan po ako eh. Kaya ako'y pahanap-hanap ng simbahan. Kasi pumunta ako sa simbahan, bawal daw ganir eh. Bawal ganyan. Hindi tuloy ako makapagpaputol ng buhok. Kasi pag daw dapat daw ang buhok, anong babae, ay hanggang balikat. Ba, ang nala, ang babae daw, hindi pwede magpantalon. Ay sabi ko, eh, medyo yata ako magulo yan. Kasi ibig ko magpaputol ang buhok.
Eh, yan po yung isa sa mga yung tinatawag, sinabi ko kanina, na mga gumagawa ng sarili nila mga tuntunin na ganito at yung bawal. Eh, sinama ng ibang iglesia yung bawal sa mga babae yung magpantalon dahil sa isang misinterpretation ng isang text sa Deuteronomy at yun namang mahabang buhok dahil naman sa misinterpretation and misapplication ng 1 Corinthians 11. In other words, meron silang kukuning texto rito at dyan na misinterpreted and misapplied, and then they make into a rule, which is very bad. Ang prinsipyo ay 1 Timothy 2, na women should wear apparels that are with shamefastness, na ibig sabihin kapita-pitagan. Pero walang binigay na rule kung anong cut, kung anong fashion, kung anong style. Kaya makikita nyo rito ang mga kababayan namin ay magaganda at nakapantalon at hindi bawal. At pati sa uri ng buhok ay hindi natin nilalagyan ng kung anong estilo. Sapagkat wala po riyan yung pagkamakadiyos, kundi nasa kalooban, yung babaeng makadiyos ang kalooban, hindi ka mamumroblema sa kanyang pananamit dahil iisipin na niya yon. Pero yung gagawa ka ng rule, sa yung bawal, bawal, ganito lang, eh gumawa ka nga ng rule at yung mga kababaihan ay maayos yung pananamit, pero dahil lumikha sila ng papa sa kanilang pastor. At ayoko po ng ganun. I would rather have the headache of having to deal with some women, how they should dress, but by way of principle of godliness, rather than by making rules of how they dress. And the last point, Mary.
Pastor, sa akin po, ay yung katanungan ko ay sa larangan naman po ng pag-ano ng trabaho, pag-a-apply. Kunyari, Pastor, ako ay may nag-a-apply po sa inyong dalawa. For example, ako at saka si Michelle, doon sa energy, sabi niyo, younger, mas ano yung energetic sila, and then yung mga mas older, yun yung mga ano yung kanilang mga mahihina, yung mga hindi na sila more an energetic as like as young. So sa larangan naman po ng tawag nito ng experience, eh syempre mas more experience yung mas older kaysa doon sa younger. Pero ito naman sa ano naman po ng kanilang appearance. Ano kaya ang masasabi mo kaya, Pastor, doon? O kung kunyari nag-a-apply kami sa inyo, alin po kaya ang match?
Eh, depende sa kung anong trabaho ina-applyan ninyo.
Kasi,
siyempre, ilalagay kayo sa isang pagsusulit at yung mga qualifications for the job. And if you're asking me, ang sasabihin ko ay kung ano yung pinapagawa kong job, ang magde-determine ng aking magiging desisyon, sino yung aking tatanggapin. So, hindi ko kayo pag-aawayin ni Michelle, pero ang punto...
Hindi kasi, Pastor, sa physical na anyo ba, syempre mas younger siya, and then...
Pero hindi yun ang gagawin kong desisyon.
Meron din siyang limbawa, mga ilang ano lang na experience, kukunti lang experience than doon sa mga sa older. Kumbaga sa ano. Paano kaya yung ano nyo doon, Pastor? Para at least confident naman kami kung ano po yung dapat naming gagawin at hindi
lang,
naman kami madidiscriminate
kung
bawat
isa. Kung isa lang ang aking tatanggapin ay idaraan sa pagsusulit at iba pang mga kwalifikasyon, and based on who passes better, yun ang aking pipiliin. It will not be on the basis of age or appearance or youth. Ngayon, kung ang trabaho yung papagawa ko ay umakyat tuwi-tuwi na sa pick 2, eh, palagay pipiliin ko si Michelle. Pero pag ang pagpipilian ay pure idea ng imparting knowledge, you will have to undergo a test, and that will be yung basis. Humingi pa si Suzette ng...
Siguro, Pastor, yung what does it mean to be gentle? Kasi sabi natin, yung pinipili ay having this gentle and quiet spirit. So ano ba ibig sabihin ng gentle and quiet spirit?
Mahinahon. Ang ibig sabihin, hindi niya daraanin sa pakikipag-away, sa pakikipagtalo, contention, kundi daraanin niya yung sinabi ni Peter, without a word. Ang yung without a word on ay ibig sabihin, walang contentious word to get her way, kundi through gentle means.
But women has this subtle way of getting something, Pastor.
I'm sure they do. And let me say, not just women, even men, but men are less subtle than women, but both men and women should be gentle in their spirit. It's a fruit of the spirit. So hindi lang ito sa kababaihan, fruit of the spirit, yung gentleness. So let's come to God in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami nagpapasalamat sa mga katuruan ng iyong salita na nabibigay sa amin ng tamang pag-iisip, lalo sa usapin ng mga diskriminasyon na nangyayari sa aming lipunan. At itong diskriminasyon ang dahil sa panlabas na anyo ay patuloy na nangyayari sa pakikitungo ng dahil sa itsura, dahil sa gulang at kabataan, o dahil sa antas ng yaman. Help us, Lord, to have the right attitude that it is the inner man, it is the character within that defines the real person and not that which is imposed and merely put on the outside. So grant, Lord, that we would have that greater prioritization on our character and at the same time in our treatment of others. Tulungan mong ang pakikitungo namin ay hindi dikta ng panlabas kundi naayon sa karakter ng mga tao. At ito ang tunay na produkto ng iyong biyaya. Ginagawa mong ang mga lalaki at babae ay may karakter ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ito nawa ang linangin namin at magawa namin that our way of winsomeness is through that character within radiating to others. And that through this, we may give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we recognize that charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but the one who fears the Lord is the one to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.